Shall we read together some verses in the book of Genesis? And in chapter 6. The book of Genesis, and in chapter 6. Verse 4. There were giants in the land, in the earth, in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. Verse 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now look over to chapter 13 of Numbers, please. The book of Numbers, chapter 13. Read this time at verse number 25. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Verse 28. Verse 27. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Verse 30, And Caleb stilled the people before Moses, and said, Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Verse 32, And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. Now, 1 Samuel, chapter 17. Verse 4, And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and so on. Verse 8, And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to fight with me. Verse 45, Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword, and with a spear, and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Now, turn over just to 2 Samuel, please. 2 Samuel, and in chapter 21. Second Samuel 21 verse 15. Moreover, the Philistines had again had yet war again with Israel, and David went down and his servants with him, and fought against the Philistines, and David waxed faint. And Ishbi-benob, which was of the sons of the giant, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight, he being girded with a new sword, thought to have slain David. Verse 20, And there was yet a battle in Gath, where there was a man of great stature, that had on his hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number, and he also was born to the giant. Now, turn over to chapter 23, verse 14, And David was then in a hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, O that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines, and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord, and said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. Now, our last verse, please, over in the New Testament, if you will, in the Epistle to the Ephesians, and in chapter 4. Ephesians Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Now that's our reading, and again we are looking to the Lord for his blessing upon his word, with all that we have heard thus far today. It's certainly a privilege to be amongst God's people, and we all feel, I'm sure, that we have spent the days of conference in exalted company. When I arrived, first meeting, a brother told me, he said, "Brother, you're among the top men here." You see, so I meant I was in very good company when I had arrived. So I appreciate that. And even as we reflect on our own country, well, we're just quite small in comparison to some of these. And our brother was, he was looking my direction when he said, when we were young in Belfast, but I don't know if he was thinking of Murder Crawford or Brother Crawford's father, but it certainly wasn't he and I on the same time in Belfast that were young together. However, we do feel very small, and I'm sure all of us can say that as we look around and see the wealth and the exalted company in which we move as those who have been sinners saved by grace. You know, whenever some of the boys in Ireland here that I was sharing meetings with our brother, Mr. Crawford, here, they'll be wondering how a wee fella like me managed to arrive in company like that. And sometimes as we looked around the platform here this morning and see the beloved brethren, servants of the Lord, we feel that we have been moving in the company of giants. And that's just what I want to speak about this afternoon. I want to talk about men that shared meetings with giants. Not in the sense now that we think of the platform, but I want to speak about people in the scriptures who shared meetings with giants. And in the days in which they lived, across their pathway, there came those that the Bible could only describe as men of great stature. In each of the passages we have read, we find that there were those in remarkable days, unique days in their history, and yet in those very difficult circumstances, and in those uniquely difficult circumstances, God enabled them to stand for him. Now, we've been thinking of the difficulties of Costa Rica and Alaska, Canada and other countries, and yet I want to show, whether it's to young men starting out, or to those of us that are a little older, or to some that have run the most, perhaps, of the course, naturally speaking, God equips people for the days in which they live. And even though the difficulties be apparently insurmountable, and even though we scan the land and face the challenge of the days in which we live, it is a great thing to be able to lay hold upon God and to be able to be sure and count upon his might and power. I want to think of Noah. Now, Noah's maybe not a man that we would normally think of as moving in the company of giants, and yet that's exactly the company that he moved with. Those were the features of the generation in which he moved. Now, I'm not going to be enmeshed or immersed, submerged any more in Genesis 6 than I was in Matthew 13. We'll try to steer clear of many of the difficulties that the chapter presented. Nevertheless, we must face the solemn fact that it declares absolutely and clearly, in the days in which this man lived, there were giants in the land. However we understand them, however we interpret the particular circumstances that were faced in the land, we look at a man, and in the days in which he lived, he was faced with a company of giants. And yet, the remarkable thing about it is this, that it was Noah that found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And so as I look at the first man, moving in the company of giants,
sharing, if you like, meetings with them on a day-to-day basis, living in the same world, moving on the same earth, undaunted by the stature of those that were about him. I want to think of a man conspicuous in God's assessment. Conspicuous in God's assessment. He wasn't the biggest man of his day, neither the biggest in stature, I would judge, or the biggest maybe in intellect. Giants in the land in the days of Noah, and yet there stands out upon the page of Scripture a single solitary man of whom it is said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord.
We live in days when there are giants, giants intellectually, giants around us on every hand that would be able to swamp the most of us as far as their knowledge and ability and understanding.
Cannot climb the ladder of success. Power and wealth and family background are often essential to move on in the things of the world.
Sometimes in the things of the assemblies.
God says a man can be conspicuous in the Lord's assessment, even though an ordinary everyday man in the stature of earthly things. God has taken up, as he did in Corinth, of the foolish things, taken up the simple things, taken up men of low degree, and these are the men that we can look down and say, these are the men that have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. We can all sing today heartily as we survey our own backgrounds, sinners saved by grace. Oh, wondrous grace that found a plan to rescue guilty fallen man and ease him of his load. And here we are today on notice. Maybe the conference never makes the paper, never makes the news, the journals of the day. The conference unnoticed at large. You come from a home, perhaps, where no big credit is given to being a Christian. You come from an assembly, perhaps, that is small and comparatively insignificant. Oh, the wonder of even though we move in days when giants are in the land, in an intellectual fashion, still possible to be conspicuous in God's assessment. Still possible to be marked out. This has been the ministry of our brother under the port that has been given and the ministry of yesterday. Our brethren would remind us the difficulties, the possibilities of losing time. Jehoshaphat-like in character. Our brother Frith was reminding us of the importance of passing time. The trumpet soon to sound. And then we face the realities of eternity. Mr. Crawford reminded us of the character of the time in which we live, irreverent in character. And yet, there must be an attitude taken to the things of God. We live in days when it has to be faced.
We learned about the challenge of the times in which we live from our brother over here, Brother Murray.
We learned of the realities of having to face the issues present day related. The Bible is a relevant book. Genesis, so long ago as it was written, had a message for yesterday, has a message for today. And God will still use the ordinary everyday men and women, young people in the world of 1995, living in a world of giants, where all around is hailed as greatness, finding grace in the sight of God to move in simplicity in the things most surely believed and in the great plan and purposes of God. Here was a man that moved in the company of giants, conspicuous in the Lord's assessment. He wasn't one of the giants. He wasn't hailed as one of the mighty men. And yet he leaves footprints upon the sands of time that the giants never left. He leaves a name that is revered. He leaves a family that credit him with hearing the warning of God and taking seriously the counsels of eternity. Giants have crumbled in the dust, and their names long since forgotten if ever they were known. And a man that was warned of God, moved with fear, took steps in this world for the blessing of those with whom he came in contact. May the Lord help us to move in a world of giants, to be conspicuous in the Lord's assessment. In the Lord's assessment.
When I come to the book of Numbers chapter 13, I find that there were men again that moved in the company of giants. Men like Joshua and Caleb.
They didn't live with them, but they moved into a land where giants were seen. We noticed another night somewhere that these were people going into the land that God had planned for them. Those spies, the great majority of them, coming back to report, it is a good land. It is a land that flows with milk and honey, but we are unable. We are unable. It's too much for us. We saw the sons of Anak there. We saw the giants in the land. We were like grasshoppers in their sight. These were the men that moved with giants in their day. What were they? Convinced by the Lord's assurance. What did they say? We are well able to overcome it. What took our brother to Costa Rica, to Alaska, our brethren who labor in this country and others beside, as they looked at the daunting facts and figures, as they faced the millions of the population that was before them, as they faced the language to be learned, as they faced the discouragements of the way, what is it that moves them, even in lands where giants are seen in so many different ways? Absolutely convinced by the Lord's assurance, we are well able to overcome. Counting on the promises of God, convinced, undaunted, undeterred by the fact that there are so big a difference in our sizes.
Sometimes we look at things in assembly life. They're just a small assembly, you know. You may look a mile or two down the road and see a building that would take 1,000, 2,000 people. You may look over the country and see the progress. We've been thinking about it this morning in the Bible reading. We think of all that's growing and developing, that's still coming under the umbrella of the branches of so-called Christendom. We say, what are we among so many? What can we hope to achieve? What are we able to do? We might as well forget about it. But I tell you, these are the men, not like the disciples of in the days of the Lord Jesus. They went out and into another land, and hearing in their ears the echo of the words of God himself, I will give it, I have promised it to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, the land that I shall give thee. Dear brethren and sisters, today, as we sit and listen to the ministry of our brethren, as we face and hear the challenges that they face, what is it that took them out beyond the bounds of normal intelligence and appreciation of a world? Just an individual or two here and there into the millions. An echo comes from a mountainside. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I am with you always. Lo, I am with you always. Link to them, as we'll see even from chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. Link to them a power that is sufficient to turn the world upside down. 50 years passed, a little more perhaps now, exploded over the skies of Japan, a bomb that was to change the course of the whole world, to change the course of history. The world was never the same again, introduced as it was to atomic powered energy. It made an impact on the world hitherto unknown. I tell you, 2,000 years ago almost, there was a force unleashed on earth that changed the course of history. Something took place that meant the world was never the same again. What was it? All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And into a world where powerlessness was known, there was unleashed the almighty power of God. The house in which those men were sitting shook with the conscious presence of the Spirit of God that our brother has been speaking about, energizing in a world of giants that ordinary men could cope in the measure in which the promises of God were clear. Dear young friend, today, in your university and college, you may just be one individual. In the class of your year, you may just be one amongst many and few to share the Christian values that you have learned from the Word of God. You may feel totally insignificant. You may feel absolutely small. No way in which we can naturally cope. How can we claim and
and seek to cling to the simple principles of the Word of God? How can we face the mountain of opposition that rises? Convinced by God's assurances. Convinced. We look today at a kingdom apparently insignificant in size and yet prospering and growing steadily in the consciousness that the Lord had promised that blessing would result and the end would be triumph for His blessed Son who would die at Calvary. Noah, sharing the meetings with giants on earth, conspicuous, standing out alone for God in God's assessment. Joshua and Caleb, in the day in which they lived, meeting with giants in the land to which God would direct them, confident in the assurances that this is the way of God that we have to take. Chapter 17 of 1 Samuel. It's a better known story. We've all learned it since Sunday school days. The features of Goliath of Gath, we've come to remember, stature, sword, his staff, his shield. I see a man going down the valley of Elah, stones and sling in hand. One of the greatest meetings with giants that the world has ever experienced and history has ever recorded. What do I see here? A man conquering with God's aid. Conquering with God's aid. He moves down. It looked to the world an utter impossibility. It seemed the height of folly and presumptuousness that this man would attempt even to approach the might of Goliath of Gath. He says, am I a dog that you come to me with stone and sling? I'll feed your carcass to the birds of prey. And oh, says David, I come in the name of the Lord God of Israel. You've defied him. He says, I'm counting on a power outside my own altogether. That's how our brethren labor. That's what takes them to the countries of the world. That's what keeps them preaching the gospel in the open air. That gives character. That gives dignity to the gospel tract that's handed out. Whether we be 5 foot tall or 6 foot five is not the important thing. The power behind the word gives character and dignity to the message that has been commended to men. If David had known 2 Corinthians, or Brother read a few verses from the chapter 10, if he had known those verses in chapter 4, what would he be saying? The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Brother, as we face the realities of the work of God today, we've been thinking much of the false doctrines that assail the saints. We've been thinking of the problems of assembly life. We've been thinking of the difficulties of the individual in home life, in their employment, in their studies, in the courses that they're taking. Is all to be lost? Are the great forces arrayed against us? Are they going to be impossible to counteract? David goes down in the consciousness and the confidence, conquering with the aid that comes alone from heaven. What took Paul to Corinth? Oh, he says, we preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ crucified. He says, I would go to Rome because I believe that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. And here we are today, living as we do, amidst the giants of the world in which we're found, not of natural stature, but just putting into our minds all the gigantic assessment of a world that hails the great and despises the small. Insignificant believers, apparently, facing the great onslaught of the devil and all the powers of evil. Thank God we are able to conquer. In all these things we are more than conquerors. Through him that loved us. Do we know something about its power experienced? Do we ever really feel and enjoy that sense of the Lord's presence with us? And to know his power, as it were, flowing. Sometimes we sing that hymn, Channels Only, Blessed Master. But with all thy wondrous power, flowing through us, thou canst use us every day and every hour. And David wasn't there that his name be extolled. He wasn't there that the name of the house of Jesse should be remembered. He's there to do battle in the name of the Lord. I'm reminded of Gideon in the book of Judges. You remember the night he came down and listened to the dream being told among the Midianites? And they listened at the tent door and they told of the barley cake tumbling into the camp and scattering the tents. Said the man, this is nothing less than the sword of Gideon, into whose hand God has delivered the host of Midian. Back he goes to the camp of Israel. Instructions are given as to the vessels and the lights and the trumpets and all that's to be done. He says, when you come down, we'll break the vessel. Allow the light to shine, we'll blow with the trumpet. And every man will shout. Well, what will we shout? Well, he says, you remember the dream? They saw the barley cake as the sword of Gideon. Said he, every man will shout, the sword of Gideon. No, no, that's not what he said. That's what I would have said. He says, every man will shout, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. So that before his own power and energy, he's impressed with something far more vital. The sword of the Lord was on his side. Brethren, it helps us to preach the gospel. It helps us to stand for truth that we believe to be vital from the Holy Scriptures. In the face of gigantic opposition, in the face of the enemy with all their efforts that will wear us down at times and cause us to give up in the struggle and feel so discouraged under the effect of the smothering of their power and their numbers. Conquering with God's aid is still available to men that move even in the company of the giants of the world. May God help us to prove it in our experience from day to day. 2 Samuel chapter 21 right through to 23, some of the loveliest chapters, we love to read them. I see there were still giants in the land. Goliath of Gath was not the final enemy. You read those chapters carefully. We didn't take time to read all the references today. But see how even after in the land, long after Genesis 6, long after Samuel's experience, 1 Samuel, long after the days of Numbers 13, giants in the land still, that's significant, mind you, in our interpretation of the passage that we read first, still around, and there they were, and here were men in the host of the Philistines, camping all around them. No, well, that's, I think there's too many now. There's not really any point in going through a host like that. David longed and said, oh, that one would give me to drink of the water that is by the well of Bethlehem. And there were men there that broke through the ranks of the Philistines. Giants or no giants. Armed forces or not. What was it that marked them? What was the feature that marked them in the day? I would judge it's this, brethren. Commitment to the Lord's anointed. Commitment to the Lord's anointed. Thou art worth 10,000 of us. And what really moved those men into service was not that they might be conspicuous in David's army. It wasn't that they might be numbered amongst the mighty or the three mighty or the 30 mighty or anything. That would come, God would see to that. It wasn't even to defend any particular honor. It wasn't even to be seen to do battle in a way that would distinguish them. There were mighty men. There were men that stood against 800. Oh, the size of the foe they were able to conquer. There was another man that stood until the sword clave to his hand. It's not so much the number of the people, but the time, the length of time that he was able to endure until the sword clave to his hand. There's another man that stood and defended a patch of lentils. The quality of the ground and the appreciation of it was that which kept them on the battlefield. But these men had no ground to defend in this context. They had no enemy standing at the gate in this particular matter. There was nothing that called their attention to spring to defense or attack. But just commitment to the Anointed One. And David only was heard to say, oh, that one would give me to drink Dear brethren and sisters, the real test of the quality of our service will not even be to see sinners saved. And that's a good thing. He that winneth souls is wise. It's not even to win a prize when the journey's closed, or to receive a well done, thou good and faithful servant. It's not even to defend the truth that's being denied on every hand about us. These are vital components in the struggle in which we are faced from day to day. It's just sheer commitment to the Lord's anointing. Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. My rock and my fortress, my surety divine, my gracious Redeemer, my song shall be now, 'tis thou who art worthy. Lord Jesus, 'tis thou. That's the high water mark of Christian life. It's not the conference platform. It's not the report in the magazine. It's not even the fact that in our labors, men and women, boys and girls have got saved. The highest form of service in terms of quality is this. They did it out of love to Christ. And they moved in commitment to the Lord's anointed one. May God help us to serve like that. Oh, the giants are all about us. We may be individuals like grasshoppers in their sight. Numerically, they are much too great. In stature-wise, in intellect, in power, in ability, they leave us in the shade or the shadow. In all of these things, we are still able to handle the work of God in the measure in which we see God's promises powerful to be fulfilled. We lay hold upon His power that can be made available to us through His Word and His gracious Holy Spirit. But may we do it all out of love to Him who bore the cross and despised the shame and is now sat down at the right hand of God. All of which brings us to Ephesians 4. He has gone up. He has ascended far above all things. He has taken a seat, and from that seat in exaltation He has given to His own these wondrous gifts. We've been thinking of that. We've been noticing how, even from that exalted height and from the glory to which He went, He has dispensed such blessing to His own. And yet Paul says, I'm looking of a day when we'll all share meetings with giants. What do you mean, when we'll all be a race of giants, as it were? Paul wants to rub shoulders with men from day to day. What characterizes them? I looked at it just like this. This is the culmination of the Lord's aspiration for us. That we may, you know, he says in Corinthians, till he come. In verse 13 of chapter 4, he speaks of a day. He says, till we all come. Till we all come. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we be not tossed about with every wind of doctrine, but growing up into Him. I just want to appeal to us, to all our hearts, as I sit down. Days of giants, these things are possible, but God expects our stature to increase. Oh, for the day when we move in one another's company, and are conscious that we have all grown, conscious that we're all giants, conscious that we move not in development of gift or ability, but in the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Says somebody, only till we reach heaven. Says somebody, not here on earth. Well, Paul's aspiration for the dear saints and the Lord's was this, that even presently, something of the stature of Christ would be known until the day when we all come. May God help us in the meantime, until that happy day of glorious stature is reached, whether it be here on earth or yonder on the other shore, to be seen in the company of giants even on earth, as those that bear a blood-bought name, as those who fear but grieving Him, and know no other shame, and thus be helped to be conspicuous in His work, and do something for His great glory. May God bless you.